Hi there. Welcome to Season 2 of the Sales for Founders podcast. I'm your host, Louis Nichols, and every Wednesday, I sit down with successful founders and sales and marketing experts to bring you actionable advice on how to learn sales, find your first customers, and grow a profitable business. This week, I'm super excited to kick off Season 2 by chatting to Laura Lopich, and we're going to go deep on a subject a lot of founders struggle with, sending cold emails that convert. To make sure I had the absolute best person for such an important topic on the show, I reached out to the best emailer that I know and asked for an introduction to the best cold email expert that they know. And that's how I found Laura. She writes successful cold email campaigns for multiple clients. And now she's teaching founders how to get the same results for themselves. Stick around till the end of the show, where I managed to convince Laura to give you S4F listeners a unique discount on her mentoring and training, something she normally doesn't do. Anyway, let's dive straight in. Laura, it is awesome to have you on the show. Why don't you kick us off by explaining how you got into cold email in the first place?
Okay, cool. So I got into cold emails kind of by accident. In my former career, I was a litigation paralegal. So I was helping attorneys go to trial, kind of making sure all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed and keeping track of all the details for them. And part of my job, a large part of my job, involved scheduling people, like witnesses for trial or talking to people, that kind of thing, having them hunt down documents. And as you probably guess, not a lot of people want to work with attorneys, even your own client. They just like are not interested. So it was a little tough because I have a big aversion to calling. Like the first time I was supposed to make a phone call to schedule someone for like a simple meeting, it would have been like a 2-minute phone call, right? It took me like 3 weeks to make the stupid phone call. So I ended up doing a lot of my scheduling by email, which served as like a double purpose because in the lawyer world, you always got to like CYA or cover your bum. So it's the email served as like a documentation so that I kind of didn't get in trouble if something went sideways. So long story short, along the way, I figured out how to write emails that got people to do stuff that they really didn't want to do in a nutshell. So when I quit and went out on my own and started my own business, I didn't have any network. I wasn't working in the like law field niche. There was not really any way for me to translate that network into my new business because I was working a lot with SaaS. And I didn't have any budget, as you can imagine.
Sure, yeah.
So yeah, Facebook ads, not an option. I didn't want to start out on like Upwork or Craigslist because I was like, that's a really good way to devalue your work right off the bat. So I used cold emails, like the only thing that I had, like my little special talent tucked in my back pocket kind of. It took a while to get going, to be honest. But once they did take off, about 4 months later, they really took off. I signed a $20,000 client. My business grew like 1,400%. Suddenly all that white space in my calendar was gone, basically. I was working 8+ hours a day kind of thing. My problem now was, how do I fit it all in? How do I get it all done? And how do I get better at sales calls so I can get more clients? So I know cold emails work really well. The only thing is, you just got to do them right.
Right. That's super interesting. So before, I know we're going to dive into cold emails today, obviously, and talk a lot about them. But some of the people who will be listening to this, some of the people interested in Sales for Founders, cold emails sounds kind of silly maybe to us, but they won't even really know exactly what a cold email is. So let's assume an alien kind of lands on Earth. They're going to land in America, obviously, because they always land in America. So they're going to land there tomorrow. And they ask you what cold emails are. How would you kind of explain that?
Good question. Okay. This is one nobody's ever asked me before. Everyone just goes on the assumption that they know what cold emails are. But cold emails can mean a couple different things depending on who you're talking to. So for founders, we're talking about basically an email that you send to a stranger, so not an acquaintance, not someone that you have any sort of relationship, like friend of a friend or colleague of a colleague or anything like that. Total stranger, and you send them an email and you're asking them to do something. And I know that's a little vague, but that action is different for every business.
Right.
So for a founder, maybe your action is, hey, would you try out my demo? Or maybe you found that the action that you should be asking the reader to take is, can I get on a phone call with you and we can chat about your problem? And then maybe I can present my software as your solution, kind of. But basically, it's a cold email that you're sending to a stranger asking them to do something for, it looks like kind of a selfish reason on your part, because you're ultimately selling something, but it doesn't have to come off as selfish. And we can talk more about that.
Sure. No, it makes a lot of sense. Right. And I know we're going to talk mainly about, because you have this 5-step framework for writing cold emails that work well, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But something that I like to focus on in the podcast is we have a range of different people listening. Some of them are sitting at home right now thinking about starting their first business sometime in the future. Maybe they don't even have a product idea yet. They have I'd like to do something in this space. I'd like to build something that helps these people, for example. But a challenge they have is just, how do I get people to talk to me and tell me about their problems and open up and share with me, so I can even work out what product I should be building, right? And that's very different to the normal founder you think of, who's maybe trying to make sales and trying to get like a sales conversation at the end of the day. So maybe before we get into the 5-step framework, maybe you have some thoughts on how founders who are really at the beginning of their journey, who they don't have anything to pitch yet, like how can they just get someone to agree to get a coffee with them or agree to spend half an hour talking with them? Like what kind of cold email or cold message should they be sending? Do you have any tips for that?
I do have some tips. I've actually been on the receiving end of an email like that. And I'm not someone who takes a lot of meetings. So it's pretty hard for me to say yes to a meeting request email. But I said yes to this email. And I'll tell you why. Because the sender, Etienne, he's the founder of Get Highlights. And he complimented me throughout the entire email, like start to finish, and buttered me up enough that I liked him and I really wanted to help him by the end. So if you're wanting, basically all he wanted me to do was get on a quick call with him and give him some feedback on his software that he was building. And it was geared towards my expertise, conversion copywriting. So he was reaching out to me for help so that he, quote, wouldn't make the wrong product, end quote.
Right.
And that right there is like super flattering. So if you can use that phrase in your email and explain, like start off with a compliment, explain why you're picking the person that you're picking. Like for example, Etienne, he said, I really liked your LinkedIn profile. The story really stood out. And I was like, oh, thank you. I spent some time on that. I'm glad you noticed.
Right.
So right off, like he's got my attention. And then he went on to say, like, I don't want to sell you, but I would love to get your advice on this software I'm building, which involves like email, like conversion copywriting, which is your expertise. So I don't build the wrong thing. So if you look at that, like think about that sentence for a second, it's still lots of compliments.
Right.
He needs my help so he doesn't build the wrong thing. Those are two compliments. Flattery, again, works wonders on strangers. Suddenly you feel like you're friends. And then he directly relates it to like why he's picking me, mm-hmm. why he's choosing me to talk to, which makes me feel special. Again, flattery. And also being super relevant. So that's answering the question in my head, like, what's in it for me? He answers it, oh, I see why I should care. Because there's not a lot of conversion copywriters out there. And then he ends with like a really simple ask, which is, would you be willing to get on a quick call with me this week or next week?
Right.
And then thanks in advance. Like it's very easy, but just rely on compliments and do some research on who you're emailing. so that you can put in those really specific compliments and it will work. It'll work sure. well.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Sounds amazing. Do you have any, have you seen it, like, you must have seen quite a few of these kind of emails in your experience.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of any insights on what people shouldn't be doing?
Yeah, totally. I, like you, I've probably seen, I've seen a lot of bad cold emails get into my inbox. I'm sure you have too. Right. And I'm sure our listeners have too, where you're just like, don't care, delete. So first of all, start paying attention to what they're saying in their email that turns you off. And you can, I actually keep a swipe pile of bad cold emails so that when I need inspiration for a good cold email, I can look back through those ones that I've saved in my Gmail and see which ones I've replied to, which is kind of a sign that those were good cold emails.
Right.
So definitely like keep a swipe file. But really the number one mistake I see people making is they aren't being relevant to the recipient or the reader of their email.
Sure.
So it'd be like me writing you a letter. I have no idea who you are. I don't care that you work with SaaS founders. I don't care that you, you know, live in Switzerland. I don't care that you do any of this stuff or that you have a course or blah. I'm just writing you an email or a letter so that you can scratch my back. When you approach it that way, nobody wants to help you.
Sure. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I think something I've seen, just kind of piggybacking on top of that, is that a lot of founders, they get so excited by the product they're thinking about building and the way they want to help people that they just kind of, they can't stop themselves from just explaining it and talking about it and writing sentence after sentence about how they're trying to help you and, like, you know, what they're trying to build and that kind of stuff. And without even explaining, you know, why this is relevant to the person or why they're reaching out to them. And I think it comes from a good place, but a lot of people talk way too much about themselves in their early emails and not enough about, you know, why is this relevant to you? Why should you care?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, why is it relevant? Like, the passion is often as like awesome. Like, we need the passion in the email, but really you don't need to even talk about yourself until like the third paragraph in. Because people don't really care about you. It's just human nature. We all care about ourselves. So exactly what you're saying, like if you can be relevant and kind of explain like how you can help your reader solve this problem that you invented your software to solve, like kind of start at it from like the end and then go back and tell your story. It's kind of like if you think about like the movie trailers in a way, they don't tell you the beginning of the story, like why Tom Cruise is on a plane holding onto the side on Mission Impossible, whatever, 4 or 5, whatever it was.
Right.
But you just see that he's there mm-hmm. and that he's trying to solve the problem. So if you can introduce the problem first and then kind of go back and explain like, hey, I'm the perfect person to solve this problem and here's why. I'm passionate and I've done this. I want to share it with you or get feedback from you. That presents a more compelling case.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Now, I want to move on from there to, because I think we're going to be talking like about a lot of this stuff and now for the next stage as well, right? It applies to both. So let's move on to founders who have a product. You know, maybe they have a customer already, maybe not, but they're going for those first couple of customers. And they don't have a big network like you or like many of us. They didn't have that budget for Facebook ads or paid ads or whatever. So they're trying to do some cold emails or some cold messages, at least. Maybe, you know, maybe it's sent via LinkedIn or whatever. It doesn't have to necessarily be an email, but focusing on them, you have this 5-step framework for writing cold emails that convert.
Yes.
This is kind of the point where I just sit back and put my mic on mute and let you kind of walk me through it, I think.
Okay.
And
okay.
I'm going to interrupt you and ask questions if that's okay. But
totally cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, this 5-step framework, it breaks down into the first step is research into the person that you're emailing. So if you already have someone that is like your ideal client or your ideal customer and you could clone them, that's who you're writing. If
right.
you don't know who that person is, that's totally cool. But do some research on like who it is that you're emailing. And so you can answer that question like, what's in it for them? Because if you can't answer that question, then they can't say yes to what you're asking them to do, because you haven't connected the dots between like, why should they care? And yeah, I'll give you time out of my day, or time out of my day to like try out your demo or do the learning curve or whatever. There's going to be some sort of commitment on their end, but you have to connect the dots for them. Okay. So that's step number one. Sure. And I'll do a brief overview, I think, of the steps, and then I'll go into depth. Cool.
Awesome. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. Okay. By me. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the first step is discovery. The second step is the strategy. The mm-hmm. third step is writing. The fourth step is testing. And the fifth step is optimizing.
Right.
So going back to the beginning, the first step, discovery, we kind of talked a little bit about it, doing research into actually who you're emailing. So if you already have customers that you could, if you could clone, you would clone, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and create more of those types of customers, talk to them. Do a quick interview. Ask them why they picked you versus your competitor. Ask them what their favorite thing is about your software. Ask them what kind of problems your software solves. And seriously, just have a list of questions. And then ask the question and shut up. Don't say anything. Like, silence is your best friend during customer interviews. And I know it feels really uncomfortable sometimes. There's a lot written about customer interviews, so I'm not going to go into depth here, but I know it feels uncomfortable to sit there with the silence, but do it. You will find out a lot more when you just let it sit. You can also find out other things about your customers if you don't have customers to talk to, or who you have is not like your ideal customer. You can do review mining. So like go on like Capterra or G2 Crowd and look at your competitors. Look at like the 1-star reviews and like the 4-star reviews to get a good gauge of like what's working, what people like in your competitor, and what people don't like in your competitor. But really what you're looking for in the reviews is like sticky messaging. Joanna Weeb of Copy Hackers talks a lot about this. So if you want to go and get deeper into this, check out her work on voice to customer data, specifically the review mining. Otherwise, you can like just do like kind of a grassroots approach, which is look up who you want to email. This works really well if you're targeting kind of people in an organization versus like I'm thinking like marketing manager or director of IT or something like that, where they would probably have a pretty fleshed out professional profile on LinkedIn.
Right.
Go do a little bit of internet stalking on them and indulge that kind of like stalker side that we all have. Don't be ashamed to admit it. I know you have it too. But like get to know who the person is that you're emailing. See if you can find a common connection point between you and them. For example, one of the cold emails I sent back when I was launching was to a company in Washington, D.C. And at the time, my brother lived in that city. And I visited, loved that city. And so I referenced, oh, saw you guys are in D.C. and included some compliment. The guy wrote me back within the day. And he was super friendly and super nice, because I complimented him on the city and found like a point of connection. So see if you can do that. See if like the person that you're emailing has a black lab like you do. See if you can find some sort of connection. And then you go into the strategy, which is step number two. And that's where you kind of take all the data that you figured out about this person or type of person that you're emailing and start kind of putting it together. Seeing what fits, what doesn't fit, if there's like a theme, if you're kind of emailing the same type of person, if you're not. A really good way to like get some insight into people is to use, let's see, it's the Chrome plugin for LinkedIn. It's called Crystal Knows. And it'll give you insight into the personality of whoever's LinkedIn profile that you're looking at.
Wow. It's really okay.
Cool. Yeah. It's really cool. Talk about stalkerish, but it's super cool because it'll give you hints on how to communicate with that personality type. Like, here's what to say. Focus on maybe like they don't do emotional based decisions. So facts, use data, use analytics to support, you know. So in that case, you'd be using a lot of numbers in your cold email instead of like customer success stories.
Right. I'm going to include that in the show notes. And right after we're finished, I'm going to go and see what it says about me. So
yeah, exactly. And you can do like a test. And then it's like when I did it 15 minutes. So you can see like, how do I communicate? Like get some insight onto you, which will help you in your sales too, in your sales calls. Okay. So step number three is writing. And at this point, you should have a pretty clear idea of who you're emailing and like why they should say yes to you. Because when you're doing the strategy point, you do want to start thinking, brainstorming of like, how does your specific solution solve their problem?
Sure.
How does it make their life easier? And then you're going to need to connect the dots for them.
Right.
And help them say yes. So like, I'm trying to think of like a, okay, so Evernote, let's use a really common example.
Right.
Evernote is like, you know, your brain outside your brain kind of. Mm-hmm. So it kind of like lightens up the bandwidth on your brain, on your memory, because it stores everything and then you can find it easily. So the reason why you might sign up for Evernote as say a busy SaaS founder is that you don't have to paper your walls with post-it notes and then go crazy trying to find that one single post-it note that you had a great idea on.
Right.
Or alternatively, lose that idea because you couldn't find the pen and paper. So if you can tie those two things, like your service, your product, to what's in it for me or the benefit, that will make a stronger ask, because you'll help them see why it matters.
Sure.
So then in the writing, you're putting everything together, and it usually kind of just, it should flow a little bit easier because you've done all that research.
Right.
You've done all that like legwork and stuff. A really nice framework for putting a cold email together is like use a compliment as your opener, as your first sentence, like flatter them, butter them up, help them say yes, help them like you, which all helps in them saying yes. And then talk about the problem that you fix.
Right.
We don't want to even talk about ourselves yet. They don't care yet. Mm-hmm. And then usually in the third paragraph, you can introduce yourself and say, hi, I'm Laura. I'm an email conversion copywriter, and I help you write better emails so you can 3x your revenue, whatever.
Right.
But the way you describe what you do, still tie it back to how that solves the problem that you want to solve for them.
Sure.
Okay. And then end with your ask or your call to action. And the best way to do that is to make it a question.
Right.
Because then it like stands out in the body of the email, and it helps people see that there needs to be action taken. You're expecting an answer, and people like to get questions asked of them because it's also another form of flattery. Okay. Then you finally send the email, which is like the testing, that's step four.
Sure.
And do like micro tests. So send like, if you don't have like a big prospect list, that's cool. Send like 5 to 10 sends of one email draft.
Sure.
And make sure you install like tracking software on your Gmail. Boomerang does that. Streak CRM does that. Both for free. You can also use Mixmax. I think you have to get a paid account. There's a couple others, but those are my favorites.
Right. Okay.
And then see who's opening your email, who's not opening your email, because that will give you a good gauge on if your subject line is working. That means someone's opening your email, or not working. That means nobody's opening your email. So then it gives you a spot to start optimizing, which is step number five. So then you can start tweaking and playing around. And once you get people opening your email, then you can start looking at like the body. If people are saying, not really interested, then something's not working in the actual copy of your email. Maybe you're not linking it directly enough to how, you know, what's in it for me. But like test it, try it. Play around with it. Don't be afraid to be different. Like that's another mistake I see a lot of people making. Like, We're all a little scared to stand out, especially in the inbox, but that's the spot where you should be standing out. That's the spot where you should be owning your difference. Like, you don't capitalize a lot of things. Okay, that's cool. Like, embrace it. Be you. And like, if you're having a hard time finding your voice, try recording your email on like a voice app and then putting that, getting that into a document. I think Google Docs does this now, by the way. You can actually like record yourself and it will transcribe it right into a document. It's very cool. But that will give you a spot to start and then you're not faced.
Sure.
You can also pick up some templates. I actually have a couple templates that you can pick up for free on my site. If you go to lauralopish.com/templates, you'll get two cold email templates, one of which I used a lot during those first couple months of starting my business. And you'll actually see like real life emails within that PDF too, not just the template. So you get like a sense of how I put it together, what it actually looks like at the end.
Awesome. And if you're listening, you can find that in the show notes as well. The link through to there. That's brilliant. So I'm going to dive in, I think, a bit there as well. So one thing I do want to touch on that we haven't touched on there is we've been talking about kind of one cold email so far.
Yep.
But a lot of the time, you may not get a response from that first email because they were in a meeting when they read it, or they just didn't read it because it came in at the wrong time, or there could be anything that happens, right? A lot of life gets in the way all the time. So a lot of the time, we see the advice to send follow-up emails, whether that's one or 50 or something in between. What do you think about that? And how, you know, do you have any thoughts on, you know, what's the right number? Is there something different you should be writing in them? Just, you know, where would you start?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. And the short answer is yes, you should follow up. You should send follow-up emails, like, definitely. We all suffer from like inbox overwhelm, kind of, you know, there's, you can't ever keep up with it. I think inbox zero is like some BS myth that we're being sold. But anyway, that's another topic for another conversation.
Sure.
But yeah, you should definitely send follow-up emails for a couple different reasons. Number one, it helps your recipient prioritize your email.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're sending a follow-up, then it's sending the signal to your recipient that you see this email as important and is valuable enough to put more time into it by following up, which helps them see, oh, I need to respond. They're expecting something from me. And then the second thing is that with cold emails, a lot of times it's timing. You don't know, like what you said, you don't know what your recipient could be doing at the time that your email lands in their inbox. And then over time, maybe they're like standing in the grocery store line, you know, waiting to check out and scrolling, and then they're next up in line and that was your email that they were reading. Life goes on, more emails come in, and suddenly your email is number 100 and 2000, whatever, right? In their inbox. So that's the second reason you should, it will bump your email up to the top. So like, what do you say in a follow-up email? It's super easy. Just simply reply to your email. Keep it all in one thread.
Right.
Please, please don't like send a separate email. I've been on the receiving ends of those ones where they're following up, but I don't know what they're talking about because there's no original to reference. It's pretty awful.
Yeah. And I just want to, in case that's not super obvious to people, also why, if you've sent them an email where the bulk of the content is in there, and then a couple of days later you follow up and there's no link to the original email. Well, when I'm reading that email, I'm going to be listening to a podcast, looking at my emails, and looking at pictures of bush babies on Instagram. So the chance that I'm going to go back in time and scroll through my inbox and find your email from before is like zero.
Exactly. Exactly. So keep it all in one thread. Just hit reply to your like original email so that your original email gets bumped down and then you can do your new, like your new email at the top.
Right.
Kind of like it would look like if you were replying to someone.
Yeah.
So keep it all in one. And then the added benefit of that is that your email now has that like coveted RE at the beginning of the subject line.
Right.
Which also signals your recipient that this is a type of conversation that that your email like was deemed important enough. It kind of like makes it look like your email was deemed important enough that they replied the first time. But in this instance, they didn't reply, but you're not faking it. Like I've seen a lot of cold emails where they put the RE in the beginning and it's like the first email. It's like, that's a bad move. That just makes me mad.
Sure.
So put your follow-up at the top, right? And then it can be a really simple follow-up, which is like, hey, first name, following up on the below email. Thanks, Laura.
Right.
And you can use that like framework for at least a couple of your follow-ups. If you want to switch it up, just say, hey, first name, following up, and then repeat the call to action from your original email. Just stick it right up there, and then thanks, your name. If you have been following up for a while, like you've sent like 5, maybe 7 follow-ups, and you see that they're opening your email, but you haven't gotten a reply, you can do, I think it's called like the 7-word email. The real estate industry popularized this email, but it works really well. You can do like, hi, first name, are you interested in, and then just put the benefit,
right?
Like, the answer to what's in it for me right after. So like, for me, it would be, are you interested in 3xing your revenue using cold emails?
Sure.
And then you get an answer like, yes. And then you can take them down the next step. Okay, cool. Like, let's set up a meeting or whatever that next step looks for you. Or if you get a no, then you know, okay, cool. I'm not going to waste my time anymore with this person.
Right. I love that advice, especially about how to kind of close up there with just being super blunt around the value proposition. I want to jump in on that because I've seen a lot of people trying to do something similar recently, kind of more early stage founders. And I've just one mistake I see people making all the time that I want to talk about while I remember it, is that a lot of founders will mistake the value, like they will think they're talking about the value to the customer, like how their, I phrase it more as like how their life will be better once they have the product, right? What is going to be better in their life after they have the product. A lot of people don't talk about that. So for example, 3xing their revenue, like you said, instead they think they're talking about a value proposition, but they're actually talking about work that the customer is going to have to do using your product. So like Evernote, right? Nobody wants to use Evernote. They want what Evernote does them. Nobody wants to input to-dos and, you know, manage them. So if you say like, are you interested in doing your to-dos with Evernote, then people are going to go, no, I don't want to do to-dos. That's the whole point of Evernote, right? So a lot of people make that mistake, and I just wanted to bring it up quickly. Like if you're sending cold emails, make sure you're talking about the value and not the work inherent in your product.
Totally. Yeah, that's a really great point. And to make sure, to like piggyback off that, to make sure that you're not talking about the work, usually like the value drives down to someone's motivations.
Sure.
Which drills down, at least in my experience, to like one of three motivations. One, we want to make more money, 3x in your revenue, right?
Sure.
Two, you want to save more money. Oh, I could save. And you, a lot of times I see this one being translated as like, you save 10 hours a week, but make it about the money, because the dollar sign works wonders. Yeah. Suddenly I want that. Like 10 hours seems too imaginary almost. Yep. So drill it down. Like, what would someone's hourly rate be? Like if they're billing at $250 an hour, or maybe, you know, it takes you 10 hours to close a sale, which results in a 6-month contract with a customer and they're paying $10 a month. Like, what does that look like? Do the math for them and then say you could save X amount of dollars. Then the third motivator is we want to look cool to either our colleagues or our bosses or our clients or our customers, but we kind of want to just be part of the cool kids table.
Sure.
So if you can answer one of those, that's usually where your value is, and not, then you can sidestep like, oh, that's work, and triggering that thought in your client's mind. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So something that I see founders, a mistake I see them make a lot, another one, kind of jumping on top of that as well, is kind of they'll enter the course or they'll send me an email and ask some feedback or whatever it is. And we'll, you know, they'll say, I'm struggling to find my first customers. So we'll talk about, okay, well, have you tried cold emailing? And they'll say, yep, tried cold emailing, it doesn't work. And then you dig in a bit deeper and you say, okay, well how do you know? Are you sure? What doesn't work about it? And they'll say, well, tried it a couple of weeks ago. I sent out 7 emails and only one person replied and nobody bought. So it's obviously a massive failure and it's not going to work for me. I think we both know, obviously, that like kind of where they're going wrong. But a lot of founders do like just don't fundamentally understand, you know, what is, when I'm sending cold emails, what's a good result? What's a bad result? What should I be looking for? Where should I be happy? And where do I need to spend some time improving it, right? So can you maybe give some insight over a couple of campaigns that you've done? You know, what can people expect?
Definitely. Okay, so first of all, if you go Googling this kind of stuff, you won't find a lot of data, a lot of numbers, because the only number I found is like the industry open rate is like 2%. And right. You can't find anything about reply rates because nothing's working because everybody's doing cold emails the wrong way. So you won't find a lot of stuff out there. So usually what I kind of use is like, and what I tell my clients is I usually use that to newsletters. And I know that those ones are going to people who raise their hand and said, yes, I want to be on your list. So it's a different audience, but at least it gives you kind of like markers. So for that would be like a 35% is a good open rate for email marketing. And usually you're not tracking like reply rates, but usually like a 5 to 10% click through is considered a good click through rate, which can be considered a conversion. So you can kind of like take those numbers with a grain of salt when you're using them for cold emails. Let me back up a little bit, because first of all, like sending 7 emails and maybe getting like one response is actually a really good, a good start.
Yeah.
Because one person took the time to reply to you. And that's a sign in the road that you're on that says, like, depending on their reply, that says you're either on the right track or the wrong track. But either way, someone took the time to reply to you. So you're connecting on some level. So something in your email's working. And to find out what's working, you gotta send more than 7 emails.
Right.
Because that's not gonna give you enough data to figure out what's working versus what's not working. So definitely send more than 7. Definitely send more than 50. I would definitely not send like do the spray and pray approach.
Yeah.
Where you're sending like an email to like 100,000 people. Break it down. For example, like when I was launching my business, I think I sent over 300 cold emails, but that was over the course of 4 months. And I know it's hard to send cold emails because you're basically risking putting yourself out there, being vulnerable, being visible, and risking rejection. So I like to think of cold emails as you're going up to the cute girl at the bar and asking her for a drink. So think of it as that versus you're not looking for her to go and, hey, let's go get married at the chapel around the corner. Like, this is just a step in the relationship. So as like now going back to like benchmarks and stuff, that's a hard question to answer. You can like look at the email marketing stats that I talked about, like 35% for open, 5 to 10% for click through, and use those as kind of like signposts. But ultimately, how you know whether or not your cold email is working is you have to ask yourself the question, is it doing what I need it to do?
Right.
And if you're like, yeah, like I'm booking a lot of demo calls, I'm doing a lot of sales calls, I'm, you know, my calendar's full, or whatever that action is that you need them to take, if that's happening enough so that your business is growing, then the answer is yes. But if the answer is no, then you need to work some more on your cold emails. Yeah.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think just to recap that, so anything above 35% and you're pretty much in safe territory on the open rate side, and 5 to 10%, you know, either clicking on some link or giving you a non-negative feedback or a reply is doing pretty well. That mirrors what I've seen myself.
Yeah, totally. And I want to like point out too, because I like how you said like non-negative feedback. Not interested at this time is actually a non-negative feedback. It's actually not a no. It's just not right now, which means you could turn it into a yes if you ask them, that's cool. Like, when should I follow up, and or when would be a good time for you? And then you can turn it around into a yes, but it's not a no. I've heard that a lot from people, like, oh, I got a lot of like not at this times, but that's actually a positive.
Sure. Yeah. I think that unless you're in Germany, if you're in Germany and they say not this time, then no, just leave it. That's otherwise no. You're going to have problems. Yeah, that is a no. I can promise you that. like I say, you know, people I think get worried when they start sending cold emails, they're going to get lots of nasty replies, and you basically never do. You just don't get a reply unless you're doing it in German. In which case, you will get a lot of nasty replies.
Interesting. Good to know.
But you're going to have to put up with that. If you're German, you'll be used to it. It's fine. Right. So that's that kind of aside done. So what I wanted to talk about there quickly as well is there's a lot of smaller things around sending cold emails that I have heard various things about, and I wanted to pick your brain on just to see what you think about them. So, for example, one thing I hear is, especially when you're sending emails to like B2B, so to business customers, prospective business customers, do you think it makes a difference at what time and on what day you send those emails? And if so, do you have any rough rules of thumb that you tend to stick to?
Yeah, I do have a couple. Like, I like to send B2B cold emails like Tuesday through Thursday.
Sure.
And then try to like not do kind of the typical sending times, by which I mean like 8 a.m. or 4 p.m. Like when people are like either getting into work and they're seeing a huge inbox, or trying to leave work and they're trying to get through their emails as quickly as possible. I like to aim for kind of like right after lunch, if you can guess what time their lunch is. Because then you get the benefit of them being happy after a good lunch and they're like ready to get to work and a little bit fired up maybe. But if you're not getting any replies or opens to your emails, try kind of those weird times. Because unfortunately, we're all like plugged in because of those stupid little smartphones that we all carry around and we're all addicted to. And we check our emails at like 8 p.m. when we're on the couch watching a movie and our significant other goes to the bathroom, and suddenly you're checking email because you're bored.
Or just whenever they pick up the phone as well. If they pick up the phone, my phone's in my hand straight away.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, if you're going to do it. So you can also like start guessing at those times. Like maybe, and you will never know if it's a hit or a miss until you try. And I know it feels kind of like disrespectful to send an email at maybe 7 a.m. on a Saturday, but you don't know if they could be at the gym working out, stretching, checking their emails. Like it does, you won't know until you try. So try kind of weird times if you're not getting any replies or opens. Try like late at night on the weekends. You could try like late at night during the work week. I worked with a marketing manager. She was like always checking emails. It was unbelievable. 10 o'clock at night, she's sending emails. 11, you know, just crazy times.
Right.
You don't know if the person that you're emailing is that type of person until you send that follow-up email, and you won't know until you try.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. I like what you say about the Tuesday through Thursday. That kind of, that chimes in well with everything I've seen as well. That I would say like Monday morning is obviously people are just super busy with all hands meetings and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then Friday afternoon, people have checked out mentally already. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really like that line of thinking. Let's say that now for founders who are maybe, most people listening to this, like I said, they're somewhere between zero and 10K in MRR. But for the people who are getting closer, well, actually, I'm going to ask you this. So I'm assuming for the people who are getting closer to 10K MRR, that's going to be around the time that you may start thinking about getting some outside help in writing these kind of emails. Am I right? Like, when should someone start thinking about that?
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of like the personal decision for a founder. It depends on, you got to go back to that question. Like, is it your zone of genius? Is writing cold emails what you're good at? Or is that something that you've had to become good at and you kind of don't enjoy? if you could pay someone to do it as good or better than you, would you be happy with paying someone to do that? And would you be happier freeing up those hours that you spend every week doing something else in your business? So that's really what it comes down to. If the answer is yes, then definitely find someone like myself or other cold email experts to come in and do that for you. And you'll be a lot happier because you won't be dreading doing that task, which is a huge energy drain. And it stomps down on your creativity. From personal experience, I know this.
Sure. No, I bet. Yeah. Awesome. And if people were interested in finding out more about cold emails or maybe even in, hiring someone down the line, where would they go and find out more about you?
Yeah, good question. So you can find out a lot of stuff on my website, lauralopich.com. You'll find a blend of different ways that I work with clients depending on your stage of business. For like early stage founders where you don't have a lot of, say you have like under 100 paying customers, and you just want to know more about how to write cold emails, how to do them better, have an expert guide you through the process. I do have like a mentorship available. It's called Convert Those Dang Emails. We would work together over the process of like 3 months. And you would learn, which is the best way to like actually do something, because you won't just intake information passively.
Sure.
I'll actually make you implement this stuff, which is the best way that you'll learn. So early stage founders, we can work together in that way. If you have like, 10,000 MRR, then that option and you're looking to offload basically the task, I have options for that too, like a monthly retainer where I come in and handle the whole thing for you. Or maybe you're just working on like one campaign. I can also just work on one campaign for you. So if you check that out, my website, lauralopich.com, you'll find all the good details there. So if you do sign up for one of my packages or just to work with me, I am offering a 10% discount to all of your listeners. So if you just enter in the promo code S4F, and the four is the number, that will get you that 10% off. And just so you guys know, like I almost never, ever, ever offer discounts. So this is a really special one-time kind of deal that I'm offering for students because I really like SaaS founders. I'll be honest, like you guys are awesome and you make my life so much easier with the things that you invent. I'm a pretty big tech geek, which is why I like the SaaS world. And what you guys are doing is incredible, and I want to help support you and help you get your software and your business off the ground and make it profitable and see that dream come true for you.
Awesome. And the links to that are going to be in the show notes if people want to go and check that out. And I'm going to let you go in a second, but I always like to end with, because I have you here and you have so much experience helping founders and marketing teams with cold emails. So I'd love to just get your feedback on the most common mistake or the most common mistakes that you see founders making with cold emails.
Good question.
It can be a small thing, can be a big thing, just like the one that that someone's most likely to be making.
I would say it's being like overthinking it. I'm thinking back, like when I talked at MicroConf this year, at what a lot of people were bringing up. I led a couple like little roundtable workshops and stuff, and I'm thinking back onto what people were asking me about it. And there's a lot of questions because founders are really detail-oriented, usually pretty analytical. So they want to make sure that they get it right, kind of the first go around, right?
Right.
We're all scared of making mistakes, and that's just part of the cold email process, unfortunately. So I would say don't let the fear of rejection hold you back from sending a cold email. It is hard at first. I've totally been there. It was so hard for the first like 50 cold emails, but I set myself a goal that every week I would send 25 cold emails. And I held myself accountable to sending 25 cold emails a week when I first launched. And so over time, with practice, that fear went away. And it was just something that I did every day. That's just what I did. It wasn't so scary. And it it kind of like thickened my skin a little bit. So I would say if you are thinking about sending cold emails or you are sending cold emails and you find yourself feeling nervous or needing to get like everything checked off or perfectly the first go around, just know that it won't go perfect the first go around. And that's normal. And that's the only way you'll get a good cold email is if you send it out and you test it and you risk that rejection and then you do it again and again and again.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to let you go on that kind of uplifting.
I know, right?
Note. Yeah. So, Laura, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and walk people through cold emails. There'll be links in the show notes to everything we've talked about. I'm going to let you go and have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
That's all for this week's episode of the Sales for Founders podcast. If you're struggling to find your first customers or to grow a profitable business, why don't you head on over to salesforfounders.com, where you can get on the early bird waitlist for the Sales for Founders course. In the course, you'll learn everything you need to know about sales to go from $0 to $10,000 in monthly revenue, featuring actionable lessons from myself and the best experts out there, including today's guest, Laura. And if you enjoyed the podcast, it would be awesome if you helped other people just like you to find it by leaving a quick 5-star review in your podcast app of choice. Thanks, and see you next Wednesday.